1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We know that Paul wanted to help folks out, wanted to be a blessing to churches and church folks. He spent a great deal of his ministry aimed at helping save folks. And that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. The church of Corinth, it was a mess. They were letting things go on there, and things were happening there that should not have been happening. People were just living like the devil. I mean, they were still going to church. They just weren't doing right outside of church, bringing that filth in. And Paul was preaching to them to get right. You know? That's kind of the reason churches are here, amen? Because we get out in the world, and we get the world hanging off all over us, and then we need a good scrubbing down, and the Word of God's a cleaning Word. It'll clean that junk off of us. And not only off of us, but out of us. Amen. And Paul was, he had the heart of a pastor. He wanted the churches to be clean. He had the job of an evangelist. Amen. But he had the heart of a pastor. That being said, all evangelists should have the heart of a pastor. Not to pastor, but the heart of a pastor, to want the same things a pastor wants for the people. And we are blessed to have some good evangelists in our circle, if you will, and some folks that really have a heart to help churches out. And, you know, here we are in these last days of the church age, if you will. And I believe that wholeheartedly. And we need help. We do. We need help from the Word of God. We need help from the Spirit of God, which His Word is Spirit, it is life. And it's a blessing to have evangelists come in every once in a while and just bring a different kind of message. Amen. It's the same word doing the cleaning. Evangelists just scrub a little different. And sometimes evangelists aren't afraid to scrub. Some places a pastor might be a little hesitant. But I hope I don't want to be hesitant on anywhere the Lord wants us to scrub. Paul had that heart. He had the heart of an evangelist, the heart of a pastor, and he wanted these people to be right with God. And boy, I'll tell you, we need to be right with God. No matter what happens in this world, no matter how crazy it gets, if you're right with God, you're all right. Amen? I'm not just talking about salvation. I'm talking about your walk. If you're walking with the Lord, talking with the Lord, serving the Lord, sold out, and submitted to the Lord, you're going to be just fine. Amen? I mean, what can happen? You die in the Lord? Amen. Go to sleep in the Lord, like Stephen? He fell asleep. You know, I'm glad I'm saved. One of these days, when I draw my last breath, I'll be with the Lord. Now look, what I said was, when I draw my last breath, I'll be with the Lord. I don't mean after I draw it. I mean while I'm drawing it. He's going to be right there with me. Amen? I don't know how lost people think they're going to get through this mess. I really don't. I don't know what they think or how they. I know I used to be a lost person, and I don't remember all the intricate thought processes lost people have anymore. I've been saved as long as I was lost now, amen? But the crazier this place gets, the more it boggles my mind that people would want to ignore truth, that they would want to reject God. They'd want to have nothing to do with the Bible. I mean, what in the world? What's going on? But Paul wanted people to be right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as in the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, excuse me. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So here, having just read through chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians and the first few verses of chapter 4, I want to look at a few things by the grace of God today, and the first thing I want to see is verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal and walk as men? The carnal believer. I have said before, and I'll say again, I believe this church is unified, wanting to glorify Jesus Christ. I believe God has brought us to a point where we all have the same goal, and that's to live for Him and glorify Him the best we can, and to meet together in church, get to know Him better, walk with Him through the week, and to focus on glorifying Him, lifting up the name of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I believe that, but I also believe this. We have tendencies as born-again believers want to go the wrong direction. And how do we know we're going the wrong direction? Well, He gives us the definition of carnality. Envy and strife and division. If you're looking at someone else in the church and wanting what they have and desiring or coveting what they have, amen. I wish I had that position. I wish I had that position. I wish I had this. I wish I could do that. I wish I could do this. I wish I didn't have to do what God's got me doing. I wish I could do what they're doing instead. I'd rather put the sign letters up than clean the stool. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if God lets us do it, Praise God. But envy, strife, this problems between brothers that come up every now and again, if that lasts and becomes a situation, it's because of carnality. It's not because God didn't give us an opportunity to be right and get right. It's because we chose to let things fester and go on instead of dealing with things when they first pop up. Amen? Spiritually speaking, we are equipped to live with one another in unity. Because the Holy Spirit of God lives in us and He's given us a book to go by. Division. Envy, strife, and division. You know, I talked here a couple, 3 weeks ago, and the devil would like nothing more than to meet a church that's in unity and to get a person that's in that church culled out of the herd, believing something crazy. That's the reason why we go through some of the teaching we go through about basic problems that churches have, believing in Calvinism and hyper-dispensationalism and all these different things, because you need to know what the Bible says, not what your grandma's opinion was or not what the preacher's opinion is, or, you know, this is what we believe because we always believed it, or that's what the church I used to go to believed. Well, did the church you used to go to believe it and show you from the Bible? Or you just believe it because they believe it? You know, the devil liked nothing more than to get somebody upset and believe in something a little bit different, especially if it's something pretty basic. And you can get caught up and messed up in it. Boy, just, I don't believe that. Once saved, always saved. Junk, you know, I don't believe that. And I can show you in the Bible where I believe this and I believe the other. He'd like to get inside a church and mess somebody up like that. That's why a pastor is supposed to be apt to teach. Amen. But if he can't do that, the devil's not afraid of plan B. Oh, he'll bring somebody in off the street to sow seeds of discord and seeds of doubt. Well, you know, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about this? And if there's any carnality in the believers in the church, that gives the devil an inroad to get in there and start dividing. If he can't do it from within, he'll bring something from without and then do it from within. But here he's talking to these carnal believers. And then in 4 and 5 it says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man?" We see the carriers of truth. And these carriers of truth, Paul and Apollos, they had the right idea. They said, "Who are we? We're nobody. It's all Him. God's given us the truth. We just carry the truth to each other, to the world, and give the truth to each other, share the truth among ourselves. We don't. We're nothing in and of ourselves. It's God, the Creator." In 6 and 7, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave it the increase." God's the Creator. If any man's being used of God, God created man. If you and I invent a tool to do a job better than any other tool they ever had, and people use that tool, the tool does not get the glory for it. It's the Creator. You can go back through the list of inventions over time, and I mean from the cotton gin, the wheel, and on down the line, amen, of different things that have been invented, and you don't read in a history book, "Oh man, praise the cotton gin." You look at the man that invented it, the creator of that thing. He gets the glory for it. That machine couldn't do anything without the Creator. It couldn't even exist without the Creator. And that's what Paul or Apollos said. Don't look at us, look at the Creator. It's all about Him. The companions of Christ in 8 and 9, it says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." These folks had walked with God. They understood He is the Creator. He's the one that deserves the glory. And what it's talking about in verse number 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one," is unity. is unity. Not just serving the same purpose as far as getting the gospel out, not just serving the same purpose as believing the same things doctrinally, the unity was to glorify God. Paul and Apollos, their goal was not to get a pat on the back. Their goal was not, wow, look at this great soldier. Their goal was for everybody to say, wow, look at this amazing Savior. And if you're going to be unified to glorify God, that has to be our mind and our heart. The intent of our heart should be to glorify Him and to lift Him up and say, hey, you know, it's not that we're standing on the street with signs. It's not that we're handing out tracts. It's not about us. It's about the fact that the Creator that made us has given us an opportunity to lift Him up and say, look at our Savior. Christ said, and I, if I be lifted up, the earth will draw all men to me. Our goal as a church in unity is to lift Him up. Amen. The problem is in today's society and churches and church circles, I say that hesitantly. You know, when I say circles, our circle, I'm talking about people that believe the book they're trying to do right. That could be a whole bunch of different churches. Amen. But the problem is there are too many people following Paul. Too many people following Apollos. And not very many people following Jesus Christ anymore. There are too many people that will follow a denomination. Or we're non-denominational. And you'll find that most non-denominational churches are denomination with a non-denominational title on it. They believe a certain thing, then the whole group believes it. But the thing is, it's not about a denomination. It's not about a man. It's about a Savior. It's about truth. Amen? One of the most dangerous things we can fall into, one of the most dangerous traps we can stick our feet into, or our neck into, if you will, is believing because we're Baptists, we got everything right. Amen. Or because somebody else is Methodist, they got everything wrong. Amen. I'm telling you, you go south, you get south of Kentucky, and you're going to find there are Baptist churches that are all messed up. There are Methodist churches preaching the truth. There are churches with no names on them that are preaching Jesus Christ crucified for salvation, eternal security. They're preaching it straight. Because they're more interested in following the Word and Jesus Christ than they are following some man. That's what Paul says. He says, don't follow me blindly. Follow Christ. The unity shouldn't come behind a man or a denomination. The unity should come right behind the truth. We unify behind the truth. The companions of Christ, it's not about us, it's not about the soldiers, it's about the Savior. The constructing of the eternal. Look at verses 10 and 11. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay which is Jesus Christ. It's that foundation, constructing of the eternal. If you're going to build something that's going to be eternal, it's going to be built on truth. Jesus Christ is truth. It's going to be built on that foundation. You have to be careful what you build and how you build on that foundation. As we get into the next verses, we're going to see the coming judgment of the believers, and that judgment is the judgment seat of Christ, where your works are judged, and they're going to be judged, and some of them are going to be burned up. Probably most of them will be burned up by that fire. He's talking about gold, silver, and precious stones that will be purified. And he's talking about wood, hay, and stubble that will just disappear. So he's telling them, be careful how you build. You've got the foundation. You've got Jesus Christ. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You're secure. You have a home in heaven assured you. But be careful how you build upon that foundation as you walk through this world. And the key to building on that foundation we've already talked about, it's not about Paul. It's not about Apollos. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God who gives the increase. When you witness to somebody and they bow their head and they ask Jesus Christ to forgive them and save them, praise God. It's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about us, it's about Him. When these little kids get saved in Sunday school, it's about Jesus Christ, amen. He has allowed us to meet together. He has allowed us to call upon Him. He has allowed us to possess this book. He's allowed us to give the truth to a bunch of other people, amen. He's allowed us. He gave us breath to get up in the morning. If you teach in Sunday school, He gave you the breath to do it. If you're teaching children's church, He gave you the breath to do it. And when He saves a soul, He gave you the truth to do it. Praise God. Hey, there's too many people out there trying to steal God's glory. I don't want this church to be that way, ever. Amen. Oh man, you just got to see our church. Oh man, our church is just, oh man, we got, man, and you should be proud of going to your church. You should be glad that you go to a church. If you're getting the truth, you're getting the truth. Amen. But how about come see our Savior? I mean, you wouldn't believe what God did last Sunday. Amen. It won't be, well, you wouldn't believe the solo the preacher sang. I can guarantee it won't be that. You wouldn't believe the special music. I mean, that might be a great thing. God touches that stuff and He blesses us with it. But you wouldn't believe what God did. I mean, you want to go to someplace, you want to go someplace you're going to get some help? Go where God shows up. Amen. Well, I just want to go to the Baptist church. I just want to go to the Presbyterian. I want to go to the Methodist church. I was always born and raised into the Assembly of God, whatever. I want to be where God shows up. And when you can open the Bible and know it's Him and not just some feeling. When you walk out and you feel like God's dealt with you. And when He's dealing with you and you decide you're going to get right, you walk out and you feel like you're right with God because you're right with God. Amen. Well, I just don't know where to get any help. Go where God is. Amen. Get on your knees in prayer. Get in your Bible and find out what He has for you. Show up in church. Pray for your preacher. Pray for each other. Pray for the services. Pray for the vacation Bible school. Pray that God would show up. Pray that God would breathe on things. That things would be real, not just a bunch of emotions. Amen. That you would not just walk in and walk out and think, well, I've done my duty. But you'd walk in, you'd get clean, and you'd leave thinking, Now I can finally do what God's called me to do this week. That's what Paul wanted for these folks. You know what he's telling them? Don't take this personally. I love y'all. He's telling them, grow up. Look at what he starts out saying. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. You know what born-again believers need to do? Grow up. Amen. He took my toy. She's riding my three-wheeler. He's got my Barbie. He's got my Barbie. Smack that kid and give him a G.I. Joe. Amen. But that's the kind of stuff that goes on in most churches. I've been in a lot of different churches. It goes on that way. Amen. Well, she got asked to make potato salad. Well, maybe your potato salad stinks. Amen. You ever think about that? Pray about making some better potato salad. Amen. Or maybe they didn't think you were going to be there. Maybe it was nothing personal at all. Maybe they like your macaroni salad better than your potato salad. Amen. He didn't call on me to pray. Well, maybe he was going to later and the Spirit of God changed it because you had a bad attitude. Amen. Maybe there are other variables than what you see at the surface. Grow up. That's what Paul's telling them. Envy, strife, division. And again, I say that knowing that God's blessed us to be a part of a church that I believe is at least in the 90 percentile on unity. Amen. I believe that. But here Paul is preaching to his church, wanting them to get help and tell them to grow up. You know, over the years, as people come and go, the biggest reason they come and go is not the people that are still here. It's not the pastor that was here. It's not the pastor that is here. The biggest reason people come and go is they won't grow up. They won't grow up. And when they don't get their way, they're going to look for some place they can get their way. Amen. Paul's saying, you're babes. Grow up. The coming judgment of believers, that's another reason. That right there is the reason we all need to grow up. Because one of these days, God's going to judge our world. It's going to be over for here. There's going to be no more gathering together of things for rewards. And we'll be there, facing eternity. And they'll say, well, let's just go ahead and look and see what you've got. And that two semi-loads of stuff that you've got in your mind is going to turn into a thimble that we have in our mind. Amen. And then, if that's what ends up happening, that'll be a sorrowful day. Oh, praise the Lord, we'll be with Jesus Christ forever, but having Him stand there and judge our works and say, you didn't do anything for me. You did it for you. That's a scary thought. Envy, strife, division. And Paul says, no, the focus should be on Christ. And when your focus is on Christ, things are going to make it through the fire. And I wholeheartedly believe that things that come through the fire, every single one of those things are going to be laid back at Jesus' feet. Because there won't be anybody patting themselves on the back anymore. It'll all be Him. And we'll finally realize that it was the Creator. It was Him. The coming judgment for believers, 16 and 17, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. We see the corrupted temple. We have to be careful what we let ourselves become a part of. I'll tell you, there over the years, I've heard story after story after story after story of people that would not get right, and God just strikes them dead. 30, 40-year-old men, 30, 40-year-old women, doing things that are unseemly, things that are messing around with people they shouldn't be messing around with, husbands and wives doing things against their husband or against their wife, and then the Holy Spirit of God, they reject that Holy Spirit, and finally the Lord just says, yep, heart attack, you're gone. You know, we talk a lot about the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's laid it on my heart. You know, sometimes He says, not now. But do you understand that? The gravity of the Lord's Supper. Most religion just thinks it's just showing up and doing a ritual. But it's not. You read 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about this reason many are sick and many sleep because they don't take Jesus Christ seriously. And then they go partake of the Lord's Supper with their whoremonger heart and their deceitful wickedness that's going on in their life and whatever's going on with them. Whatever, lying, cheating, stealing, whatever, like it's nothing. And they'll go in there just like they're eating lunch. And that's what they were talking about. They were doing it not even thinking about Christ. With no regard for the sacrifice that He made. And then some of them were sick. Some of them God struck dead. Paul says, take this thing seriously. Do you realize eternal consequences are not just heaven or hell? Eternal consequences are what you're going to end up with at the judgment seat of Christ. That's eternal. That's it. That's over. That's final. You don't get a repeat. Ain't nobody going to bring out that thing from the old movies and say, take two. It's over. This is it. Today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today. Not tomorrow. Hey, look, I love y'all and I believe you're good folks. I really do. But if you got something wrong, if you got something between you and God, you need to get it right. Amen. Here we are on the precipice, on the doorstep of God doing some amazing things this year. We need to be right. Vacation Bible school coming up. Oh, I just want the Lord to bless it. I'm going to keep sinning though. I got my pet sin I'm going to hang on to while the Lord tries to bless us. Get rid of it. Get right with God. Let's see what God will do. Amen? The corrupted temple. Look at 18 through 23. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. So we see the correct focus. The correct focus is realizing to put things, you want to put things into focus? You belong to Jesus Christ. You know what you want from your kids? You want them to obey because they're yours. And not just when they're out in public. You do want them to obey out in public because it's embarrassing when they do something stupid out in public. Amen. You know why? Because that's a little you running around doing what little you would do if you were little. Amen. And people look at them going, man, their parents must be really nuts. Amen. You know, my kids are always perfect. You just caught them on an off day. Amen. But you want them to do right because they're yours. And God put them into your care, and God says, honor the mother and father, your days may be long on earth. They are supposed to do right because they are yours. Amen? Even though we are not perfect parents, they are supposed to do right for us. We have a perfect Savior, and we are supposed to do right for Him. You want to put it in focus, put it in perspective? You belong to Jesus Christ. You are bought with the blood of Christ. So when that thought comes into your head and it lands on your brain and your neurons are firing and that's headed to your heart, you can say, no, I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. When you want to give the guy on 70 the what for, because he doesn't understand that the speed limit should really be 80 and you're running 72 behind him, you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe that guy you're getting ready to give the what for to is a guy that's going to break down at the next exit that you're going to be able to witness to if you just realize you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? So when that ad pops up on your me phone, and then, man, you could win $60 billion if you just play this game. You gamble with God's money? No, I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? You would not believe the things that saved people are addicted to. You know, well, they're addicted to alcohol and they're addicted to pornography. No. They're addicted to gambling. They're addicted to lying, stealing. Anything that a lost person can be addicted to. You got a whole bunch of saved people out there addicted to it because they don't read their Bible. They don't take this seriously. They don't listen to Paul. Don't listen to me. Listen to Paul. Amen. Paul said, grow up. You belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? All we have to do, you don't even have to wear the bracelet. But all you have to do is say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus want me to do? I'm His. Does Jesus want me to do that with my money? Does Jesus want me to pursue this in my life? Does Jesus want that going in my eyes? Does Jesus want that going in my ears? Does this glorify Him? Because I belong to Him. I mean, if you really looked at what He's done for you on a regular basis, what He's done for us, you see, we don't see the crucified Savior. We see the victorious Judge coming back. And thank God for that victory. But remember what He's done for you. Remember how He bought you. He purchased you. He purchased me. He purchased us with His blood. That's what Paul's saying. Focus. Carnal believer, the carriers of truth, the creator, the companions of Christ, the constructing of the eternal, the coming judgment of the believer, the corrupted temple. Ooh, you get judgment here on earth. That's not good. The correct focus. Chapter number 4 says, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. To the Christian stewardship. Now, think about three things. Realize what you've been given. Realize who gave it to you and why it was given to you. You say, well, He just gave it to me so I can get to heaven. No, no, no. He gave you more than just an eternity in heaven. I'm not slighting that. But He's given you truth. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Jesus Christ in John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You've been given truth. What is inside that truth? What is what does Jesus Christ contain that He has given you to be a good steward of? True love. Not the love this world sees. This lustful, carnal baloney. True love. Amen. He's given you and I a true example of humility. A true example of obedience. And a true example of sacrifice. What are you doing with it? What are we doing with it? Think about this. What are you leaving behind? If you died tomorrow, what would you leave behind? So, well, I'm looking all forward. Well, praise God. It's going to be all forward when you do leave this world. But just for a second, in the rearview mirror, what are you leaving behind? I hate those big diesel trucks with those 40-inch pipes on them. They drive by you with your window down in the summer, and they're just blowing out a bunch of smoke. Try to blow at your window to aggravate you. So I just shoot their tire out. No, I'm just kidding. But what are you leaving behind? What are we teaching those that we love? Children? Grandchildren? So my children are all raised. You got grandchildren. Amen. And look, I'm going to tell you something. If you got grandchildren, I can tell you as somebody that had a grandma that loved the Lord, you can have a lot more influence on your grandkids than you ever realize by praying for them and just loving Jesus Christ. What are you leaving behind? What are you teaching those people that you love? The younger folks. Maybe they're not even your kids, your relatives. What are you leaving behind? What are you teaching them? What's your life saying to them? What message is your life conveying to the folks that are going on after us? Think about that. Think about that. Christ has given us that true love, true example of humility, obedience, and sacrifice. What are you teaching those people that one day you'll leave behind if the Lord doesn't rapture us out of here together? What are you investing in eternity? Think about this. I'm going to preach to me for a minute so y'all can relax. But I've had family members I've had trouble dealing with that I love, that I don't want to die and die and go to hell. Amen. I have family members that are saved, I believe, and out of church. I have family members that are living in wickedness. I'm just preaching to me right now. Y'all take it easy. But see, what am I investing in eternity? How am I dealing with that? How do I deal with them? I can deal with it a couple different ways. I can do Peter in the garden, just chop their ear off, and say, I'm done with you. Or I can realize I belong to Jesus Christ. I am bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He owns me. He has allowed me to make my decisions because He wants me to make decisions that glorify Him because He's worthy. So, oftentimes I need to pray and ask God for opportunity, for wisdom, and for the heart of Christ to deal with people. Hey, there are people in my life over the years, there have been people that I have been so through with that I could scream. I've got a cousin that I'm struggling with right now. And pray for him that he'll figure out that he's a male. It makes me sick of the filth he's in. But if God would use me to get a hold of him, I'm willing. But honestly, just regular old me, I'm not able. But I want to invest in eternity. I want God to give me an opportunity. I want Him to give me the wisdom, give me the heart to convey the message that he wants conveyed, the way he wants it conveyed, the time he wants it conveyed. There's nothing wrong with a grown man saying, look, I love you and I'm worried about you. And I'll be honest with you, maybe I haven't dealt with you right in the past. Let me tell you what the Lord's doing for you. Jesus Christ died for you. Well, you don't understand. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. No, you don't understand. You don't understand who Jesus Christ is. You don't understand the power of the blood that he shed on Calvary. You don't understand the magnitude of the forgiveness that he's offering. It's greater. His grace is greater than all our sins. You don't understand what he has done for not just me, but for you. You don't understand what he's forgiven me of. Amen? You see, you get a right view of you as belonging to Christ, you start to get a right view of others needing Christ. But if you left this world today, what are you leaving behind? And I know I've been preaching to me, but who come to your mind? Well, I was talking about my cousin. Who come to your mind when I was talking about my family? Who come to your mind when I looked back just a minute ago and realized that I had not dealt with things the way God wanted me to deal with them? I'd done it the way I wanted to do it instead. What are you leaving behind? Who is it? Who is it that maybe a letter? Text, an email, electronic letter, or a phone call after praying and seeking God's will. Who is it that God's wanting you to make an investment in their eternity? Who is it? We've all got people. You know what we need to do? Let's realize we belong to Christ. Grow up and deal with things in a godly manner.